Podtacular 235. Welcome to Noble, September 20th, 2010.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podtacular episode 235. I am Duststorm.
I'm Brent Gamer.
And I'm Fumo Jive.
And we're here talking about some Halo Reach, which came out last week. How you guys been liking the game so far?
It is totally awesome.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, I have to say it's probably the best Halo game out of all the ones that have come out before.
It really exceeded my expectations, and I was a bit skeptical after, you know, hearing all the hype for Halo 3 and Halo 2 and being let down by both of those campaigns ultimately. In comparison to, you know, to all the hoopla and everything. But this campaign was really fantastic. I mean, it really really exceeded my expectations.
Good. I mean, I think that the campaign was definitely one of the big points that Bungie hit on for this game in particular. Mm-hmm. Since, like you said before, Halo 2 and Halo 3's campaign weren't that...
They were fun, but they, you know, they had their drawbacks.
Yeah, they weren't as in-depth as probably Halo 1 was, but I think it took pretty much the best from Halo 1 and Halo 2's campaign, in my opinion, and put it all together. Like, you have the big maps like you did in Halo 1, and there's some of those hard parts in Halo 2. Like, I know when I played through the campaign on Legendary, there were some parts where I had to do the whole plasma pistol headshot thing with the DMR.
Yeah, new combo.
Yeah.
Nobody calls it that anymore, though.
No.
Now, I understand we're not going to be talking about any campaign spoilers, so you don't have to worry about fast-forwarding or anything.
No, not this week. Next week, we will start to get into the campaign stuff. But this week, we're just strictly talking about kind of our initial impressions on Reach, what we like, if there are any dislikes.
I've got a few.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's going to be dislikes and everything.
Right. Sure.
But, I mean, I think this...
Except Hello Kitty Online.
No, that's perfect, man. It's truly the greatest game of this console generation.
Oh. It's undislikable.
And it's on PC. That doesn't even make sense.
Well, there's Halo
PC.
Yeah,
because it's Halo Kitty, it does.
There's Halo PC and there's Halo 2 Vista. So,
I guess.
I mean, Halo is on the PC platform. I'm just waiting for Halo 3 to come out on the PC.
Are you waiting for Halo Reach to come out on PC?
Oh, that'll be epic whenever it does.
That'll be 5 years from now?
I hope it does. Well, I don't care if it's 5 years from now, as long as it comes out.
Yeah.
I'll play it. Heck, I bought Halo 2 Vista.
Yeah, by then, we'll know what Bungie's next game is, probably.
Yeah, it'll probably be on multiple platforms, and it'll probably be on the PC as well, hopefully.
Oh, maybe.
Hopefully. It'd be nice.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Give some PC love!
Hey, we were talking about the campaign, and in general terms about the campaign, I got some thoughts on that. I'm sure you guys do, too. Some of the things I was thinking that there was an improvement over Halo 3 and Halo 2 in particular was, first was, like, the seriousness of the tone. It felt more like, you know, this is like a fight for survival and this is, you know, we're professional soldiers and, you know, we need to do this or we're going to die. And so is everybody on the planet. And in Halo 3 and 2, it felt like all the characters were just like a bunch of kind of action heroes that just didn't give a crap. And all of the Marines were just kind of like screwing around the whole time playing, you know, just messing around. So... This one felt like a lot better as far as the tone and you know, it sets the stage for everything being a fight for your life.
Right. Well, there was an interview with someone, I don't remember if it was Frank O'Connor or Lars Barkin or one of the other Bungie guys, but they came out and said that Master Chief was so much just like a superhero at the end of the Halo 3 campaign that really wasn't probably as engaging as like Halo 1 was.
Right, but I don't think that's the only reason that. I mean,
well,
I don't know.
I
hopefully they didn't mean that as some kind of excuse because that's a cop out. I mean,
yeah.
There's like for instance, there's a book series that I read that it was. I mean, the guy was a superhero by the end of the first book, but they came out with like 9 books, and every one got progressively like even though he was a superhero and he'd already gotten through like four or five gigantic adventures, you're going, how the heck is he going to get out of this one? I mean, still, there's ways to, you know, to deal with it story-wise to where it doesn't seem so like,
right.
Well, of course he's going to kill all them. I mean, geez.
Well, it's almost like that the fresh start with a new set of characters was pretty much what Bungie needed.
Sure.
To make a excellent game, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, here's where I got to disagree with you guys as far as just characters in the games. See, I prefer the original Halo trilogy's characters over the characters in Reach. I don't think the characters in Reach are fleshed out very well. I think that they're mostly just a set of, like, stereotypical, like, accent meets, like, attitude, like, generalized attitude. So it's like, all right, like kind of black guy accent, but you're never sure what he is because he's wearing a helmet and he doesn't take it off. And he's, like, all emo and stuff. And his name's going to be Emil, so that his nationality is, you know, up for grabs. Nobody knows exactly what he is. Well, do we? Is that on Halo Wiki?
I don't know.
Is he, like, East African, or...
It might be.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, like, Emil just pissed me off, because Emil seemed like something that would be really cool, like, super bad. Like, during the trailer, he's, like, scraping his, you know, weapon off, and he really doesn't say much. He's like, yeah, I'm getting ready to kill some elites. Like, I thought he'd be, like, awesome. And, anyway, I don't want to go into spoiler territory, but he gets pretty emo in certain situations, you know, and it's just kind of, the stereotypes didn't do it for me. And maybe it was because they didn't really have any books about them. So, I mean, there are books about Master Chief. There are books about Cortana and, you know, and there's an entire book dedicated to Sergeant Johnson, even. I mean, Captain Keyes, all these characters, and I can relate to them because I can read more about them. But for some reason, those characters were a lot more memorable. I mean, you look at characters like Cortana, she's iconic. And she was in all three of the Halo trilogy games. I mean, she wasn't there physically in the fight with you, but she's always present. You could always hear her voice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
I think it was just a nice alteration to the storyline, because it was something different. It wasn't something that you're already used to. I think that might be one of the things, but...
Well, I mean, the reason
to each his own.
Yeah, I was just going to say is that I kind of disagree with you there, because I didn't want anybody to be like a super bad, because we've already had like, you know, super mega hero Master Chief that just destroys everything in his path kind of thing. And after the first one, it felt like that, like he was just, you know, unstoppable. He was like the Superman of Halo. But I mean, these guys, they felt fallible. They seemed professional in that they took their job seriously. I think that's why you didn't have a lot of like screwing around necessarily. It's like people, they still had their chances to like bring out their personality. Like when there was when there was an argument at one point, when there was you know, chances for people to kind of have like a monologue for a little bit, and it doesn't necessarily like they don't go on like a whole flashback or anything, but it's enough to flesh out the characters in different ways and to separate them from each other. But I do see what you're saying about Emil a little bit. I wouldn't want him to be like a super bad though, because then it's just like, oh, okay, here we go. Another stereotype in itself. So,
well, really my only problem with Emil was that he was just annoying. It's like, I'm fine with being professional and all. And I think that Noble Team as like a narrative structure is a better character than the individual members of Noble Team themselves. So if you think of Noble Team as the main character of the game, like as a single entity, it works a lot better. But I mean, the problem I have with Emil is that you're right. They tried to make him professional and not seem extreme. But instead of going in the extreme and being awesome, they made Emil go into the extreme and make him super depressed acting and always whining about stuff. And I didn't feel that that's what a Spartan should be about. I think that if anything, a Spartan would be more bad than they would be more emotionally depraved or whatever.
Hmm. Well, I don't remember much about the specifics of when he was whining and being depressed, but maybe you guys can talk about
either.
That on the next one.
I don't either. But,
I really can't talk about it because I guess I'll have to go back and play them. Maybe I heard him wrong. But I mean, there's a portion in the game where you spend a lot of time with Emil. I don't want to get into it. And we'll talk about it in the campaign show. But it's during that portion that he just got on my nerves. And I'll replay it and try to figure out what was going on there.
Yeah, I felt the opposite. I mean, I felt like he was, you know, he was motivated by the situation around him to really get pumped up and you know, get like a sense of kind of revenge.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah,
and that's what I felt like. It maybe if we're talking about the same situation, which I think we are. So anyway, in order to avoid talking about too vague stuff here.
Yeah.
Something else, because there's plenty to talk about around this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten into multiplayer yet, really.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that's what, 75% of the game?
Yeah, well, you guys probably know more about it at this point than I do, because I haven't been able to play much multiplayer at all.
Oh, it's amazing. You're going to love it when you get into it.
Yeah, I can't wait to start forging, too.
Gosh, oh, yeah. So yeah, I've been working on a forge map. It's all right. You know, I'm not looking to make anything legendary. I just feel that to get the full Reach experience, I need to create like one decent map in Forge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's my obligation. So it's coming out all right. It's got some cool little gimmicks to it. I mean, not huge, but
I know PK and I are gonna try to make our Team Fortress 2 maps.
Oh, that's cool. Good deal.
Classes and everything that we're going to try to, I mean, it's only five, but if we can still kind of manage those somehow, that'd be pretty cool. Like do scout, spy, some other things.
Yeah.
Be pretty nice.
There's going to be a lot of really cool Forge maps, I'm sure, coming out real soon.
Oh, yeah.
There's already some on, you know, on the top maps and game types you can download. There's some cool stuff on there, although it's kind of full with a lot of firefight spamming achievement.
Yeah.
Right now.
Those will die out soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. But, I heard a few complaints about this, how there weren't as that many maps as some of the previous games shipped with. Mm-hmm. There's only 12 maps, and 8 of them of which are campaign-based, and then you have Forge World.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's an okay amount, and they're probably going to release DLC anyways.
Doesn't bother me one bit. I mean, there's so much to do in the game that I don't even notice these things, because it's not like you're looking around for something else to keep you occupied. I wish there was more maps. It's like there's so much going on that you can go for that even makes the existing maps different and makes them more fun and changes the whole paradigm around it, you know, with the commendations, with the daily and weekly challenges, with the, you know, all the very different game types between, you know, Invasion, all the Slayer and objective stuff, and then Headhunter and everything else, and Firefight and all that good stuff. I mean, there's just so much to do, you know, so I haven't even reached the point where I've looked at how many maps there are and any shortage of that yet.
Right. Well, I know there's like the 8 campaign-based multiplayer, and then there's the 4 like Forge World ones where it's the Blood Goals, the Ascension, and then there's Sanctuary and something else?
Yeah, there's this one that's on an island with a big mountain in the middle for snipers.
Yeah, Paradiso.
Yeah, that's the Ascension remake.
Yeah, Paradiso is awesome.
Oh, I'm thinking of something different. I'm talking about a different one, actually. There's this one where there's this big mountain in the center, and it's for Team Snipers. And it's also for vehicle-based games. But have you guys played that
one? Oh, wait, does it have the teleporter place where you can get into the central structure?
Yeah, from it's not like the side of a hill to the,
yeah, the
to
side.
Into a structure.
Yeah, I think that's Paradiso, or the name
is
of the
that
mountain.
One? Okay, yeah.
And yeah, don't they use that mountain to like? No, it's a different mountain. I'm thinking of something else. But yeah, all of the Forge World maps are awesome. I thought I'd hate Forge World. I thought that it would all look too similar, but really, all the remakes are great.
Yeah.
Of the Halo 2 maps.
Yeah.
Paradiso is cool.
That's good. Have they made a Tower of Power variant yet?
Not in matchmaking.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, not necessarily matchmaking, but...
Well, I'm sure as a custom, somebody has.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I want to just see this gigantic map that uses, like, almost all of Forge World somehow.
Now, it's not as big as you would think. which was a little bit of a downer for me, because I was expecting it to be like, you know, you look out over that, it's like, wow, I can go all the way to the horizon. Not so much.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Well, no, it's not that big, but
yeah,
still pretty sizable.
It's not as big as other multiplayer maps for other games. Like Captain Crunk, I heard in the previous episode, was talking about whether it was as big as a Bad Company 2 map. Not even close. Not anywhere near. Maybe half the size of a Bad Company 2 Rush maps. So,
right, but Bad Company 2 also has more players.
It has more players. It has bigger and more vehicles. It has objectives that progressively go across the map. So true, but they're kind of two different game types that they're focusing on. But nonetheless, it's a little smaller than I expected. But that's okay. I mean, there's still plenty to do there and plenty to be able to make there, and it's way better than it was in Halo 3 as far as that's concerned. So that's good. But you know, one thing I was a little annoyed about is like Blood Gulch. Remember there was that Red versus Blue video where they showed someone going on the top of the cliffs above Blood Gulch, and it was like a teaser, and they were saying, look, you can get on outside of Blood Gulch now, and they were looking off into the distance.
Yeah.
Well, you can't even do that. Apparently you can only, there's like one spot in Blood Gulch where you can go outside the cliff. Otherwise you get the battlefield barrier where it says return to the battlefield.
Right.
It's like, I think what, spots, like,
I mean, you can still, well, I think you can get outside, as in you can browse through Forge World, and it's just not restricted to Blood Gulch. I think that's what they're going
for. That's what they were winking at. They're saying, hey, yeah, they've got Blood Gulch now, but it's part of a bigger thing.
Yeah.
And they were like looking out at Forge World itself as, you know, they weren't saying, hey, Blood Gulch has this extended area now.
Yeah. I don't think there was, just strictly talking about Hemorrhage the map.
Yeah.
I think they were talking about Forge World in general.
Right.
Yeah, I suppose it's just that even that one part that they were hinting at doesn't exist, and that the part where they stand on top and look out, you can't do that without dying. That's what I'm saying.
Well, in Hemorrhage, yeah. On Forge World, no.
Yeah, Forge World. I mean, you go in there.
That's an unforgeable area.
Yeah, it's an unforgeable area. Apparently, there's very small regions. Like, I don't know, maybe five. I'm just guessing. Someone told me that there were specific regions that you could go to above there, but I've tried to fly all around there, and you can't fly anywhere above those tops of those cliffs. It says return to the battlefield.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, there's things like that. There's invisible barriers above areas that you thought you could get up to, like any of the structures up in the above the, like way up on the mountains there. You can't get to any of those.
Huh.
So, you know, but then again, I maybe I'm being kind of a Debbie Downer here. It's not that much of a bummer. It's really awesome. You know, there's definitely a lot to be able to forge with, and the forge tools are so much improved that just even the same maps that you would do before are much easier to build, much more capable of doing cooler things. So, yeah, a lot of positive stuff, definitely.
That's good.
Yeah.
So what about some of the other multiplayer maps that are in there, since we've talked about Forge World for 10 minutes or so?
I'm thinking of one that I really like.
There's the Ivory Tower remake.
Yeah, that's great, but I've only played on it like once. I really that doesn't show up very much when I play. I guess it's because I'm not playing enough Team Slayer. But
I mean, you guys are pretty much the only ones in the know, because I haven't...
Off the top of my head, what was that? What was that map? Foo that we were playing on that we lost 49-50.
Let me see. First map.
We're still trying to learn map names.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn map names.
That was the one that you. There was like, I don't know the name of it, but it looks kind of like Rat's Nest from the outside. It has multiple levels, and it has the air ducts that throw you up to the next level. It has a big open central area that has overlooks from either side, kind of like midship.
A lot of close quarters combat going on. A lot of grenade spam.
With the central area being open and then having areas facing each other on both sides, like midship, you can still do some mid-range, so there's some of that.
Yeah, firing across the map, having shootouts and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so whatever map that's called, I really can't remember.
It's kind of a cross between Rat's Nest and... midship, I think.
Yeah, kind of. I like that one. Man,
there was the Boneyard.
Still pretty cool.
Sword base is cool, definitely.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Boneyard.
Boneyard is cool.
As far as Invasion, but I think I like Spire better. Maybe it's because I've been playing Boneyard too much in the beta.
Oh, yeah. But,
yeah. Yeah, Spire's pretty cool. The only thing I hate about Spire is, like, the initial wave. I don't like it. It's boring. It's like, you're either going to skunk them, and then you just sit there for 5 minutes defending these generators. And, like, once you get into positions, it's pretty easy to hold them down. Or you, like, spend 3 minutes, like, struggling, and, like, your enemy always has a better weapon than you. No matter which side you're on, you're always complaining about the weapons you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you keep getting killed. And yeah. But once you get past that and you get to the actual Spire itself, it's great because it's this huge open area. You can run around. You can, you know, do strategic things like go back and get the Falcon and just have your buddy mow everybody down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've played a lot of like Big Team Slayer in Spire, and that's a lot of fun. The Hornets definitely, or the Falcons rather, they totally own there. I mean, if you can pick one of those up and get a good teammate and avoid any rockets or lasers, I mean, those kick butt big time. So
yeah, those are an interesting change to the Hornets. I think I like the Falcons better.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They're good. The only thing that frustrates me about Falcons is, like, when you first get in the Falcon, it takes so long to get off the ground.
Yeah.
That if you see an enemy anywhere nearby, forget it. They're going to just come up and board you and just steal your Falcon because they can jump in so easily, but you can't even get off the ground. It's kind of annoying. It's like you see them coming and you can't even defend against them jumping in and opening your cockpit and punching you out. It's like, you should be able to do that somehow. It'd be nice, but...
Yeah, we've got massive Pelican boosters that can shoot a Pelican, you know, 30 feet up in the air in 2 seconds, but we can't get this tilt rotor helicopter to get up in less than 10. It's like kind of lame.
Another balance issue, maybe.
Maybe.
Anyway, so there was that Ascension remake we played. What'd you think of that?
Oh, yeah, it sure is Ascension. You know, if you liked Ascension back in Halo 2, you'll love this one. The only thing I hate is... when you take the gravity lift, the man cannon thing, back up to the central platform, you still take fall damage because it's reach. So if you like have rockets and you fall and anybody sees you, you're pretty much dead. Because they'll just shoot you in the head and then take your rockets. So
I didn't try that one. Yeah, the one thing that annoyed me in that is that I guess maybe it was a result of us playing DMR only on that map because we played Arena, Brent and I did, right before the show here. And we played on that map, and with DMRs only, when people got up to that main tower, they were pretty much invincible because they could take a couple hits and easily duck behind the glass there and just recharge and come back out. So and plus, they had rockets up there, so that kind of gave them yet another advantage. And it's just hard for teammates to spawn and really get in there and take them out, so, especially if they have rockets to kind of defend against any attack that comes up. So... That was a little bit one-sided, it seemed like. But maybe if there was more weapons than just the DMR and people got up there and were kind of like, okay, now what do? I can't get anybody long distance.
Right. Well, yeah.
Then that would help.
With like a assault rifle start and just have DMRs on the map.
Right, but not have any DMRs up there in the tower.
It's like the glass on the tower needs to be like 3 centimeters shorter. Just so you can, just a little bit easier to hit him in the head. Because right. I notice when I'm looking up there to shoot him, like it's just you can see just a little teeny bit of their head, and it's so hard to hit. But they can see you perfectly, and they'll just nail you from up there.
It's no fair. You know that would be nice because you should be able to get headshots unless they back down that ramp. And
right.
Then they have so that way they have like a second that it would take them to get out of the way. And if you've already dropped their shields, then you'll have a chance to get a headshot before they can get out of range.
Right.
That would be good.
Another thing that I wanted them to fix it, but I don't think they did, was the shooting from the face instead of shooting from where the actual rifle is shooting from.
Okay.
Like, you know, like if you go into like safe film, you see where the bullet comes out, it actually comes straight from the face, not actually from the gun.
I didn't notice that. Okay.
I was hoping they'd fix that, but I don't think they did.
Well, in general about the graphics, though, the graphics are fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They really spent a lot of time polishing up and improving a lot of areas.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can still tell that they were really stressing the system. Because at least I know when I'm playing a campaign, I get my frame rate to drop a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty regular slowdowns. I usually chalk that one up to multiplayer lag. But it could very well be within the game as well.
No, in campaign, just there's so much stuff on screen that the frame rate just drops.
Yeah.
Can't take it. And I mean, that happens a lot. It's kind of disorienting too, but I mean, you get used to it after a while.
I mean, even playing on Forge World, if there's lots of stuff going on and good off in the distance, it's going to start lagging out because it's having to render that whole space.
Yep.
I mean, you can just tell that
different rendering method now, where they can render distances much better.
Right, so, but it's still just showing the limit of the Xbox 360 technology, that people are finally starting to hit that edge where Microsoft's going to have to come out with something in about 2 years to keep up.
That'd be nice, or somebody's technology, but well, there's definitely some kind of limitations there.
It's nice to know that there's room for improvement.
True. No, this is maxing out the 360. There is no better. Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun though. So, one thing that I might have been talking about briefly is commendations. What did you guys think of those?
Oh, I love them. I love the credits they give me.
Yeah,
you get so many of them.
Yeah. So why don't you explain it, Brent, as far as how it works?
Okay, so during your gameplay through either campaign, firefight, or matchmaking, as you rack up medals or special kills or kills against certain enemies, you have little commendations that fill up. And those go through like several levels. Like, I don't know what they start out. It's like iron or something.
Iron, bronze.
Iron, bronze, gold, or silver, and then gold.
Silver, gold, and is there a platinum level?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think anybody would have been able to get there yet.
Oh, I'm sure people have been playing the whole time, probably have already.
Get so, 5 billion kills in multiplayer.
Yeah.
Killian there, apocalypse.
So,
destroy something planet. Like that. Planetary manslaughter.
Yeah, those are super cool though. They're like extended achievements, really.
Yeah, it's like your own little achievement system.
It's just a nice way to keep people involved, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if I wasn't bogged down with homework, I'd be playing to get those every day, but
well, to also track all the stuff you've been doing too.
Yeah.
It's nice to even more than the credits, just when a commendation pops up, you're like, oh, I've gotten like 20,000 headshots now. Like, sweet.
The thing is like one thing is like in Xbox in general, there's the when the achievement pops up, you just hit the center button, you can find out more about the achievement. There's no way to really do that in
commendation.
Yeah, you have to go to start and then find it.
It doesn't even give a one sentence description or anything.
Yeah, I wish I just a little bit of information, just the teeniest bit, like 50 kills or something, like
or be able to hit the back button when it pops up.
That would be great. That would be great, because the back button already gives a description of what you're holding and your armor ability, so it would be a perfect place for it.
Right. There's still plenty of room for it.
Yeah.
Yep. Bungie. Come on.
Come on, but
They should have got us to focus test.
Yep.
We could have figured all this stuff out.
Yeah, no kidding. No love.
In the credits.
Yeah, not us.
So there's the combination system with the multiple different tiers, like achievements and everything, and then there's also the challenges. Those are
Cool. Daily and weekly challenges. So Bungie puts out four daily challenges?
Yep.
Four daily challenges and a weekly.
Four dailies, and then you get one weekly, and the weekly is like a longer extended challenge. Like, I think this week it's played 30 games in matchmaking.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you get a lot of credits for that. It's like 5,000 or something.
Really?
And then you have the smaller daily challenges that are quicker to do.
An hour or so.
Yeah, varying difficulty, and the harder ones will give you more credits, obviously. But sometimes it's like get 20 headshots against grunts in campaign, or get 20 kills while flying around in the air in matchmaking with a jetpack, mm-hmm. or get 15 assists in matchmaking, just little stuff like that. And then, I don't really think about the challenges that much when I'm playing. Sometimes I'll look at them.
You just play.
Yeah, mostly just play, and then you'll just get them on. You'll just get them during normal gameplay. Like the assist thing, I don't think about the assists. It's just like you eventually rack up 15 assists and you finish the challenge for that day. It's like whatever. But,
well, I mean, you wouldn't know about like the campaign ones unless you looked at it.
Yeah, would have had to. Yeah, so it's good to look and see what your challenges are for that day. Just know kind of what Bungie's looking for.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun to look at those. You know, earlier in the day and kind of go, oh, let's see, what are the challenges for today? Maybe I can get them all today.
Yeah.
You know, and find out what they are and go, oh, that's doable. Yeah, I could do that in a couple hours or so. And
maybe I'll use the shotgun a little bit more today, you know?
Yep. In fact, I had that happen when the shotgun was, it was the shotgun firefight one recently when you had to get like 20 kills with the shotgun and firefight. And the first... earlier on in the day, I went into a match and firefight, and there was this guy that went down right where a dropship was at, and right as the guys came out, he started like shotgunning everybody, and I didn't even know he was there because there was such like a giant gaggle of people all over the place. Right? I just shot a rocket right down in there and blew everybody up, including him, and he was like, "What the heck, man? I was trying to shotgun everybody and get this challenge."
Oh, wow. That's funny.
Didn't expect someone to be down there, you know, with a shotgun just getting worked from all sides. But then later on I was playing a game and there was clearly someone else that was trying to do the same thing. They grabbed a shotgun and just, you know, just rushed at him.
Right. So,
it's a lot of fun. You know, the other day too is I was playing some multiplayer and I had something like 40 kills altogether in multiplayer that day. And I got like 37, and I was sorely tempted to go back into the game and finish those last three, but I was like, I got to get to sleep or I'm going to be dead tired.
It's only 5 minutes. It's only 5 minutes.
Yeah, but 5 minutes at least. Another 5 minutes and just go.
Yeah.
Eventually, you got to call it quits.
You got to give up.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get the other one anyway. The
never going to give you up. Never going to let you. No, stop.
I've really been enjoying the matchmaking firefight.
Yeah, how's that been working?
It's actually pretty cool, other than just the lag you get during most firefight matches.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome. You get like a whole bunch of credits after each match. You can choose to veto whatever maps or whatever you want. So you can choose Gruntpocalypse or whatever, or you can choose Sniper Fight.
Well, it's not really veto. It's not really vetoing.
Yeah, you're not vetoing it. You're choosing it. Yeah, it's voting, and then you.
I mean, you can vote.
But you can veto a map. You can, you can pass the map and go on to another one.
Yeah, you could do none of the above, which was kind of interesting too.
Gruntpocalypse. Yeah.
I really didn't like Firefight and ODST, but I really, really enjoy Firefight and Reach. Now that I can get into matchmaking games, I mean, because it was kind of tough to find people to play Firefight back in ODST, especially after that first week. When people quit caring, you know? So. Yeah.
It was, and the thing is like, before it was just like this giant marathon firefight. It just went on forever. So it wasn't as appealing because it didn't have like a definitive end, and it was like a short, you know, bite-sized periods like it does in the rest of Halo matchmaking. So the way they tweak this, it feels like an entirely different game almost.
Oh, yeah, because you have a clear objective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got, you're going for score, and you have unlimited lives. So because of that, I mean, you can just, you know, you can know you're only playing for like 5 minutes anyway. So let's just, you know, get the lead out and
you'll go crazy, man.
Yep.
Do what you got to do.
Nice.
Go get that Killionaire.
Yeah, I haven't played any of that yet. So
it's super fun. It's a major improvement, I think, over ODST's firefight. And of course, you know, there's still all the variations you can do with custom firefights and create all your own stuff. And, you know, we'll see how much that kind of stuff is used.
Yeah, I know how it's used right now.
For achievements, of course.
Achievements. Five achievements for 30 minutes.
But it'll, you know, all the customization they give it is all big plus. It's all, you know, that much more longevity that the game's going to have. So that's definitely great. if people ever get tired of daily and weekly challenges and all the different modes and everything else.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It just seems like that's going to be a long time anyway, even longer than it was in Halo 3.
That's
a whole variation.
$2 million armor effect.
Oh, man. The
lightning.
Pestilence? Is that what it is? Oh, the lightning. Yeah.
Wait, it might be the pestilence. The lightning might be more. I know that lightning is the most expensive.
Somebody told me
2 million credits. Wow.
Inclement weather.
Told me that they saw someone that had the pestilence equipped already. And I was like,
no,
what?
No way.
This must have played all day, every day for like the past week.
It could have been just some kind of, you know, they were seeing things like someone threw a grenade and there was smoke coming up or something. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe they just got an eye for it. They're already looking out for it, trying to find it.
Right. They're getting paranoid.
Yeah. Yep. Oh my gosh, this person's going to be awesome.
He's cooler than me.
No, can't have that. But there's so many different armor types and stuff to unlock.
Oh, yeah. I love pimping out my Spartan. It's pretty cool. The
armory. Pimping out your Spartan.
I don't know. There's like 50 pieces of armor or whatever.
There's a lot.
There's like a lot of variants. Like you can choose your helmet. You can choose individual like left and right shoulders.
The only bad thing is whenever I get credits, I immediately spend them.
Oh, yeah. You got to save up.
Got to save them up for the cool stuff. That's what I did. I saved up 50,000 and bought a blue visor. So,
see, I like the
blue visor.
I like the
now
colors.
Now I'm looking cool. Get it? Yeah. Because it looks like ice.
I don't like the color of the blue visor personally.
It's pretty sweet. It goes nice with my blue Spartan. I can like blend in with the water behind the red. I think it's the blue base. Hemorrhage.
Yeah. Yeah, you go in the blue base and it's like, oh, look, a Spartan-shaped piece of it's a rock there.
Oh, wait,
it's a statue. In honor of Spartans Fallen.
Why is it holding a Spartan laser?
Why is it pointing a rod at me?
Hey, Bill, come check this out.
Stand right here.
That's like it's taking our picture.
Yeah, but they got
Sage, they got some, you sucker. That'd be great. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. It's cool. There's all the Firefly voices you can unlock, too. Like, you can even unlock Cortana and
a bunch of
different things.
Master Chief himself.
Yeah.
You can be the Chief.
You can.
How are those? Because I haven't messed around with those at all.
Don't have the cash to unlock them.
Even if I did, I wouldn't spend it on Firefly voices.
Yeah.
Unless I had like everything I wanted for my Spartan model.
Right, that's probably the last thing. Yeah, you said something about skulls. There's I think it's Bungie does it, I'm not sure, but there's some kind of armor variant where it looks almost like a hologram of that there's a skull underneath the visor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks kind of like it's the visor is transparent and there's a skull underneath and there's like a very subtle lighting on it. But it also kind of looks like one of those hologram deals. So it's interesting. That's I think it's Bungie's.
That's interesting. It's like their flaming head from Halo 3?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty cool. But you can have. I like obviously how you can have the custom skulls for firefight. You have three custom ones you can have.
Oh, okay. So you can like. In creating Firefight, you can have these custom skulls that go off and on while you play.
Yeah, throughout the rounds. You have a red skull, a yellow skull, and a blue skull.
That's great. Cool idea.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of Bungie, when are we going to set up our hump day challenge, Dustin?
That's a very good question. I don't even know who the contact for that would just be Irk.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, we need to do that. That'd be so much fun.
Or send Shushka.
Your picture
of us standing with him. Be like, remember us?
Yep. Oh, we're going to do that anyway. I just need to get it printed and get a shirt from the store. We're going to send it to him. I'm going to send the photo to you and Brent. And we're going to sign in there.
Send him a letter that says, I sure would appreciate one of those cool Spartan models you have in Reach with the invisible hologram skull. Face head.
I'm not gonna say that.
I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't,
it just reminds me of the whole
next game,
the whole Twitter debate that we had last week. That JVB started about us not getting copies of Reach.
Oh yeah, yeah, beta or yeah, review copies.
No review copies for Podtacker. What's up with that?
Yeah, yeah, Bungie, what's up?
I'm sure you and JVB would have gotten them if you were still doing Podtacker, but.
Yeah, they gave one to Games Radar, and look how that turned out, huh? Yeah. Gave them my gave them a 70 or something. I don't remember. Was it 80 or 70?
I don't know.
Games Radar gave Halo Reach two reviews. They gave them one for the campaign, and then they gave them one for multiplayer. And multiplayer got like a 9 out of 10, I think. But the campaign got like a 6 or 7 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah.
They I thought said the campaign was good.
They said it sucked.
They said it sucked? Wow. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they didn't say it sucked, but I mean, if you read their review, it's basically saying the campaign sucks in comparison to other campaigns in the Halo franchise. And standalone as a game, this campaign still kind of sucks, too. Like, really? Separate from the Halo franchise, it sucks.
Kotaku,
something about how it's like devoid of characterization and stuff.
Bull crap.
Wow, a lot of other news sites really disagree with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a one-off.
Well, Giant Bomb had kind of similar kind of problems with Halo Reach in the campaign. That's why they only gave it a 4 out of 5.
Whoa. Surprising.
So, yeah. But, I mean, that's still a good score. It's not like...
Oh, yeah.
2 out of 5. It's not on par with, like, Big Mother Truckers or whatever. Actual game.
Zing!
Yeah. Yeah, actually, look up. Somebody, you guys should look up the review. You guys are listening, definitely. That's the greatest review ever.
Yeah.
Totally. So, finishing off on the armor variants, there's some other things that are really cool in there, like how it links in with Halo Waypoint, and there's certain armor variants or variations of armor variants even that are only unlocked through getting a certain a metal. Level or whatever it's called, like a
certain unlocks. Level.
Yeah. Like you have to get like level 35 plus a couple other
achievements
for one of them, and level 30 and a couple other for another one. So there's some interesting stuff in there as well.
Like I have all the 5 that don't require a multiplayer achievement, and the other one, there's just one other one that I don't have because I haven't played multiplayer yet.
Right. Yeah. Yep. The Super Combine one.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I don't
that one's pretty that. Simple.
And then there's the Avatar Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of them is unlocked, I think, during campaign, right? The Grenadier one?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. And then I got the Cat one. I can't remember what I got that one from.
I don't remember what all the Avatar Awards are.
Yeah, I got Emil's helmet from getting a Bull True.
Oh, that's cool.
Matchmaking.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the Bull True one. That should be pretty easy to get. That's just a matter of playing enough.
Invasion. Or not Invasion. Infection. Why do I keep calling it Invasion? The Zombies one.
Oh, okay.
Zombies.
Infection?
Yeah. And I keep calling it Invasion. Sorry.
Invasion of Infection. Infection invades. Yeah, but there's those, and then there's the... You know, there's all the normal unlocks that just require credits. It's just such a cool system of requiring credits so that it's not just based on what specific one thing you do. It's based on just any pathway you choose to get to the unlocks that you want.
Right. Well, so like a lot of other games are nowadays.
Yeah, with COD points coming out with Black Ops.
Yeah.
COD bucks or whatever they call them. So.
COD bucks.
God.
No, that's what they said.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
In their Inside Gaming interview, they said COD bucks.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of an odd name for them.
Oh. I guess no one has tried race yet since there's no race types in matchmaking.
Nope.
I really want to try that because I really liked it from Halo 1.
Yeah.
The fact that you're probably going to be able to put your own waypoints out and make your own tracks. And that's going to make Halo tracks boom once people start actually doing that.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what's sadly absent from matchmaking?
Hmm.
the Rocket Hog. I love that thing in campaign.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can do any custom games. I'm assuming you can.
Oh, yeah, you can. Okay.
You can place, like, 8 Spectres and 8 tanks on the map, too, and all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah, it's weird.
So if you wanted to have a race with 8 tanks, you could do it.
I don't know if you do tanks.
Wait up, I'm coming.
But, I mean, Warthogs and Mongoose, I think, are the two prime examples of racing vehicles.
Yeah.
It'd be cool. Yeah.
The Revenant is a good one, too.
It'd be cool if you have, like, half the people racing, and then the other half of people actually just trying to beat obstacles and kill people.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Like an obstacle race course. Almost like Split Second.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool idea.
Crazy.
And you can set vehicles to be hills as well now, so you could have multiple different hills that are all the vehicles. So
longest in their car.
Get into the hill, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you can also set hills on weapons, which I thought was pretty cool. So you kill someone, you have to take their weapon to be in the hill.
Oh, no, that'd be interesting.
So I think that pretty much wraps up armor variants.
because we keep on going off to other topics.
I know. So some of the other multiplayer modes. How about Invasion? What'd you think of that, Brent?
Oh, I loved it. It's pretty cool. Like I was saying, I like it better on Spire. Except for that first wave. And I don't like the initial wave for Boneyard either, but it's a little more fun, you know, because you got... I guess it's just more parallel, I guess, as far as the map structure is. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
But it's just like you don't have as much to go through to get to one of your capture points during the initial stage than you do on Spire. Because, like, on Spire, the initial phase, you've got, like, one capture point in these rocks that you kind of have to maneuver around. It's kind of hard to get around. Like, you try to jump over one, but it's just a little bit too tall. And you finally get there, and, like, they've already captured it, and they're moving on to the fun phase.
Right, or they've captured the other one when you got there, and then it's like,
there's
no way I'm going to make it there in time. So, the first one is, like, impossible to defend on Spire.
Yeah. Yeah, but once that's over, it's great. It's a huge open area. You're flying your Falcon around. You can have a buddy on the Gatling gun, you know, screwing people over when you're flying next to them. so you have to capture another point during the second phase. And during that phase, only the lower part of the Spire is accessible, kind of the little underbridge thing. And whenever you try to take the teleporters or the little man cannons, it'll only shoot you up to that first level of the Spire. And you fight over that for a while. During that phase, you can get a Warthog if you want to drive around, shoot things. But, I mean, that one doesn't take very long. So they usually take it in the second one. If they get to the second one, they usually take it. So during the third phase, you can access the top portion of the Spire, which is way up in the air.
Yeah.
Like, any attempt to jump off of the Spire and not hit these little bouncing, like, yellow bumper things. They look like man cannons, but really just when you land on them, it'll just soften your blow. And, I mean, it'll just, like, slow you down during your fall, so you won't take any damage when you hit the ground.
Is the yellow bumper things?
Yeah. They're, like, they're glowing. They look like a man cannon, but they're just yellow, basically.
Huh.
And you have to land on them when you jump off the Spire. So you get up there, there's this little... kind of building place, kind of bunker that holds an elite core, and you have to take the core as a Spartan and either get in the Falcon if your team is really awesome. I've never had that happen.
Ditto.
so either take the Falcon or
we'll get it to happen.
Now, no matter what, even if you have to, it's better to suicide off the edge and get the spot or get the core down to the bottom level.
Right.
But you know, you want to try to jump and hit the bumper. But even that might be risky because it takes a while for the bumper to lower you down to the ground, so the enemy's usually just shooting you in the head anyway.
That's when the Falcon comes around to pick you up and while you're in midair.
Yeah, well,
nice.
That'd be
not likely.
Awesome. Yeah.
Take some skillful driving or flying.
Boneyard is almost exactly the same as it was in the beta. Except... matchmaking is fixed now. You won't get split up if you go in with a team of 6.
I have been split up with a team of 8.
Yeah.
when it was 8v8, which I got totally confused about.
Wait,
so,
Big Team Battle?
I think it was Big Team Battle, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that happened too.
It was definitely 8v8, and we got split up, and I was like, what the heck? I thought they specifically addressed this issue.
Yeah. It was probably because another team joined in, like, 3 and 2 or something.
It shouldn't matter. I mean, if it's have 8 people, and they have a total of 8 people, there should
it
be no problem.
Matter.
That is true. That is true.
I mean, matchmaking should never prioritize, skill manipulating between like who's on what team versus keeping a team together.
Yeah, you know, it's not your fault. You're awesome. You should.
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
Yeah.
So yeah, that one's fun though. That one's a lot of fun. There's the different capture points that are definitely their own style of play each time.
Man, I'm missing out.
Yeah, I've had fun playing that in Big Team Battle though too. Just Spyro as a level, like you play a Big Team Battle Slayer on there, and it's really fun. Sometimes people will be up on the Spire, like trying to be smart, and they're shooting down on people with their DMRs, and they're not looking at their radar or anything. So you can just sneak up and do the cool assassinations. It's pretty awesome. And then you like kick them off of the Spire if they're close enough to the edge.
Really?
Like, yeah. It's like they'll fall off when they ragdoll, and you just watch them fall down. You keep shooting them or whatever.
That's hilarious.
I call it humiliation because it's totally like if you get hit by that.
Humiliation.
Yep. Yeah, finish him.
It always sucks to have it. It's so instant, you know? Like all of a sudden you just pulled back into third view and you're like, oh man, really?
Yeah, I just laugh and I'm like, oh, you got me hard that time.
It'd be interesting if there's a way you could like prevent an assassination.
You can shoot a guy off of another dude, can't
well,
you?
Well, yeah, I mean, but as yourself getting assassinated.
Oh no.
Yeah. I don't know. I kinda like the way it is.
I had one funny story where on Hemorrhage I did an assassination where I jumped on a guy and I basically slammed him down so that he was flat, like with his stomach on the ground. And I was about to like slam my energy sword or something into him, and some dude in a ghost came over and ran over his head and got the splatter kill for it. So it looked like I was holding him down for the dude in the ghost to come hit him.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
Oh man.
Teamwork.
Wow. That's great.
Very cool. You know, I liked Invasion Slayer as well. That was a game type I played where it was like territories kept changing throughout the map, where it was one territory at a time, but then it was you had to get 10 seconds on it or whatever and lock it down, and then it goes to the next one. But then there was like some kind of Slayer game going on in the meantime. I didn't quite understand how that worked out. But that one was a lot of fun because there was like vehicles all over Boneyard there, and it was just like a massive vehicle battle going on. And then also the vehicle spawned after like 10 or 15 seconds when you took a territory. So maybe that's what it was. Is it was a Team Slayer game, but they had those territories there just to spawn vehicles when you take the territory.
Right.
So that was really cool because like sometimes it would spawn Banshees, sometimes it would spawn, you know, Warthogs or whatever, and those could really be a big advantage when you're flying around a map with 8v8 and there's people all over the place. If you find anybody in the open, they're dead meat, you know?
Right.
It's really funny, though. Like, I've seen gameplay of this when you get a territory, you get the vehicle, but at the same time, you're being rushed by the whole team, and they actually end up getting the vehicle because everyone that was in the territory died.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like,
for all that effort, you don't get the vehicle anymore, and now they're going to pwn you with the one that you should have gotten.
Yeah. So I find the invisibility is pretty interesting, too, the way they kind of balance that out as an armor ability, where you kind of lose your radar, but then and you can't move to keep the invisibility. So that's pretty wild. Of course, that comes in super handy when you can use that armor ability, and then you can go find a sniper rifle. Then you're set up. You can just camp like way at the top of the map somewhere and just pick people off, and they can't find you.
They'll never find you. Yeah, I've used it to where I knew a guy was coming at me through a corridor, mm-hmm. So I just kind of like hunker down, use the invisibility, and while they pass by, I'd assassinate them or whatever.
Yeah.
But I never got real fancy with it. I've also used the hologram kind of like that. I used it against Chucky J on BTB Slayer on Spire.
Yeah,
I ran, like, he was right next to me, and I thought he saw me, but I used my hologram, and he started chasing the hologram, and I assassinated him. It was pretty sweet.
That's cool.
Yeah, did they change anything with the Invis one? Cause from the beta, because I haven't played with the Invis much yet.
I don't think it changed.
I never played the beta, so.
I think it might be a little more stringent on how much you can move. I think in the beta, like, you could move a little bit faster and still stay invisible, but now if you move very fast at all, just you start blinking back into reality.
So there's still some more game types we haven't covered. There's Arena, which is like a whole thing in itself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That one's pretty interesting. I've been playing that a lot the past few days. Because it's a little weird because I don't fully understand how it works until the end of the first season. And I'll explain what that means is that the way it works, and it gives you, when you first go into Arena, it gives you like a welcome screen that explains what Arena is. And the idea is that you play three games in one day, and then you play six or seven of those games in a season, which is a predefined period, I think is, I don't know, a couple of weeks or something like that. Not sure exactly. But when you finish a season of that whole thing, it averages out your score, which at the end of every Reach game, you have like a numerical score that's somewhere around 1,000 to 1,500 or more. And it averages that out, and it puts you in a division based on that. What is a division exactly? No idea. We'll find out when the season actually ends, I suppose. But it's kind of interesting way to play competitively and to kind of see how well you can do. It's definitely those matches are very pitched and intense. So.
Yeah, I think the division is probably just going to be like a custom playlist that you can only access if you're part of that division, and then it has like stat tracking maybe. I think that's how I remember when they explained it, but
I still don't understand how it's any different than like a level system where you're playing with your level. I mean, why would you want to be in one division versus, I don't know, maybe the higher you go, it's some kind of better games or something? I don't know.
Well, I mean, you're more awesome, obviously, if you're in a higher division.
It's probably right? More
your
like...
friends would be like, hey, look at me.
Probably more like
how's
proper
that
league
than
style.
Halo 2 levels, though?
Do what?
It's probably more like proper league style, though.
Yeah, like the Pokemon League they had at Toys R Us 10 years ago when I was a kid. Really, real sanctioned, real official.
Noble team, I choose you.
That would be sweet. Halo Pokemon crossover.
Oh God! Well, there are six members on Noble Team.
Yeah.
So you could form a what is it, a club or something?
A club. You're thinking of the trading card game that came out on like the.
I am. I'm thinking. See, that's all I.
Yeah, played. You got to realize that was completely out of the canon of the Pokemon universe.
Oh, that's not acceptable.
The only thing that game had to do with Pokemon was the cards. Literally, that was the only thing that. It was a great game, though. I remember it. It was awesome. I have
my own separate Pokemon universe from you guys. Then
I should go emulate that like right now.
Yeah, that's
I have a box of cards that I just have sitting around that I've been meaning to like try to sell, but.
Oh yeah, they don't sell for a whole lot these days. But back when I was a kid, I used to sell cards on eBay, and I remember I had this one Rocket's Mewtwo, and it was during the Team Rocket card set that came out, I think after Base One or something. And anyway, I got like $50 from it off of eBay. Nice. It's crazy, but it's holographic.
Score.
I've looked at some of my rare cards on eBay nowadays, though, and they're only like $3. It's kind of sad.
Bummer.
Well, I mean, every little bit counts at some point.
Still good memories.
I mean, I think with all the cards I have, I could probably make at least 300.
Oh, yeah?
300 cents?
No.
Yeah, 300 cents. 300 nickels.
Thank you, Fumo.
300 pesos, yeah.
300 yen.
300 euros. So that was Arena.
300 atoms of dirt.
Atoms of dirt.
Or molecules of dirt, I guess, is the more appropriate.
300 atoms of dirt. That's big money, man.
Man, if you can find a dirt atom, dude.
Yeah, let me know if you find any dirt atoms around.
Man, that'd be awesome.
I'm a little broke right now.
Maybe we can split it.
Don't spend it all in one place.
I know, man. You gotta split it.
Sure to invest it, you know, in stocks and bonds.
I'll go make my own planet.
There you go.
I'll get my own little microid.
It's gotta start somewhere. So there's Arena and another one I haven't even played yet. I don't know. Maybe you guys have. I don't know. It's called Score Attack.
Oh yeah, I played that.
Firefight.
I haven't played it. I haven't played any of the multiplayer.
It's basically single player Firefight.
Okay.
But it's match made, so it's like super official, and like you can see who has the highest score of your friends. Like
really?
In the top left hand corner of your screen, it'll show like who had the most like points at the end of their score attack in that certain map or whatever. But you can also choose like which game type you want, and I don't understand that. So I don't understand if the leaderboard is for that map and all the game types within it, or if each individual game type has its own leaderboard.
Oh, good question.
Because there are game types that would certainly give you an advantage over other ones, like Sniper Fight or any game type where you have unlimited ammo and unlimited lives. Well, you always have unlimited lives, but
well, if it's a time limit, that makes sense.
Yeah,
but I mean, like Gruntpocalypse, like that one's fairly easy, but you're not going to get as many points with it as you would in a full game where you're fighting elites and hunters and stuff.
It's probably like sorted by category of which game type you played.
Yeah,
I would assume.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to play with you guys this weekend.
Oh,
I'm kind of envious that I haven't been able to play.
All the stuff. I mean, you know, with the I especially like the daily and weekly challenges and the you know, the different modes. Like, you know, let's say you're tired of playing competitively, you can go into Firefighter, you can go into campaign co-op, or you know, which you could do with Halo 3 before, but still the campaign's better, and eventually that'll be matchmaking. Or you're wanting to play a little more competitively, you played a lot of social Slayer objective types and you want to like get into some competitive Slayer, you know, well then you can just jump into Arena, which is beyond like
super competitive.
Right. It's beyond the competition of even a Team Slayer playlist. So, you know, that's an improvement. And then eventually they'll have Firefight Versus coming out, which isn't available yet. And they'll have campaign matchmaking, which isn't available yet too, on purpose, only because they want to give people time to finish the campaign, because with campaign matchmaking, they're going to make it to where, just like other matchmaking, you can vote on which map you play on.
I really wonder how that's going to work.
The very last map, and you haven't finished the campaign.
Probably just, you probably just play one mission at a time, Dustin.
Is it going to be like one mission, or is it going to be one like up to checkpoint? Because I know like if you play it on...
No, like one full mission, like Oni Site, or like... I don't want to give away any more names. That one's an early one.
Well, yeah.
Right,
just like one single mission like that. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I am saying, Mr. Mr. Dustin?
Yes,
I do. Understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I don't know. That accent's kind of hard
like
to understand.
Contingency. That's a level. That's a mission you'd play through.
Or sword base.
Yeah. Yeah, that
is correct.
That's what I think. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is a checkpoint, but it would make more sense for like a full mission.
That'll work better with campaign scoring as well. I mean, since you can do scoring and then combined with matchmaking is going to be, you know, definitely making scoring actually make sense. So that'll be definitely cool.
I mean, I think Bungie did a good job basically making sure that this game is going to last by adding so much stuff in there.
Oh, Forge World alone is really what's.
Well, I mean, there's some people that don't really enjoy forging that much. I mean, they like to play, but like having the campaign.
No, I'm saying the people that do forge a lot will provide.
Well, yes.
To them, but don't.
Yes.
Hopefully, in a perfect Halo society, that's how it works. Now, that's
Utopia
probably not,
of Halo.
Not how it's going to be, but there will always be new maps out there. And with all the new tools you have in Forge, it's going to get crazy. Like, I'm just making a regular-looking, symmetrical Halo-style map, but people are going to be making crazy, like, Mona Lisa-style pieces of artwork.
I just wish I had the time.
Well, some of these people, I don't think they play the game at all. Like, the Forge, they just play Forge. Like they that's what they do. They forge. Like they put in Halo Reach, or back in Halo 3's day, they put in Halo 3, and they just forged all day.
They get their creative juices flowing.
Yeah, that was, they just did it to create stuff.
At least now they don't have to glitch to actually pull off like something that looks good and like sit there forever. Like before, you had to have extreme dedication just to be able to do something that looks decent. Now, I mean, you know, anybody can put the, like, if you see something in Halo 3, you can easily put it together. You know, so the level of quality in the maps and Forge is going to go way up. And now that it's much easier to find stuff in game, you can see the top, the most downloaded and highest rated maps, game types, whatever else.
Yeah, that's going to make things so much easier.
Yeah, it's going to be so easy to find videos, maps, game types, screenshots, anything you want to find. And also there's that cool recommendation system too, which is interesting. So you can recommend games to your friends, and instead of sending them a message saying you have a new recommendation or something, when you just go under start and then files, there's a recommendation kind of tab in there, and then you could just, it just shows all the stuff that your friends recommend. Now the only problem with that is you can't see who recommended what, and sometimes people will recommend things that are clearly spoilers for the campaign. So don't go in there if you haven't finished the campaign. Right. So
I wouldn't do anything in Reach without doing the campaign first.
Yeah.
Like seriously, just go do the campaign. Go finish that. Put it on easy too.
Go into Spider Hole, play Reach.
Yeah.
Couple of things I was thinking of. Huh?
Sorry, I was just gonna say that's what I did all this weekend, was just play campaign.
Right.
There you go.
Awesome.
You got it. And now I forgot what I was gonna say.
Nice.
Crap. There was a couple other features though that I was running into that were cool. One of them is the psych profile. For me, that is working. There is much less people that are just blabbing on and on, or singing some song, or playing their rap music while we're playing or something. I don't run into that nearly as much as I did in Halo 3. There still is sometimes, but it's really improving the quality of the communication on the teams that I'm playing on, matchmaking. So that's definitely cool. And just to explain what that is real quick, is that it just has a couple of drop downs on some things that you can choose. Like if you want to be matched up with people that are chatty or quiet, team, very fun oriented or very competitive oriented, you know, things like that. So you're drawing up a psych profile of people that you want to play with. And I don't know how it does it, but somehow it matches you up in the same way, I guess, based on what other people choose in those dropdowns.
Yeah, here's what I'm afraid of, though, with that, is that eventually you're going to get smart trolls that are like, oh, you know what, maybe I'm going to switch my psych profile to fun, loving, quiet, you know, shut-ins.
and then just
troll them all day long.
And that's a good point, but there's contingencies even for that. There's two different kind of features that are an improvement in addition to that. One is that if someone betrays, they can, like, for instance, if people are griefing you about betraying and stuff, you can boot them instantly after one betrayal. You have the option to. And if they do, then that counts as a quit for them. And if they quit out of the game, then if they quit out enough of games, they're warned, and eventually they're put on probation to where they can't go into matchmaking for 15 minutes. So that's kind of a really cool feature, is that, you know, if people are quitting out all the time and just kind of screwing your team over by quitting, or if they're betraying too much and griefing, then either one of those counts towards warnings and then eventually probations for them.
Yeah, that's definitely cool.
The second thing along those lines that's really cool is that there is with the mute system, every time you mute someone now, it ticks up a counter by one. And if they have enough people mute them, they will be automatically muted in future matchmaking sessions by everybody else. So if someone is like being super annoying all the time, then it's going to be really cool, because they're going to be automatically muted. And you don't have to worry about like, oh, let me mute this guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. So
I'm still not sure about the whole betrayal thing, though.
Yeah, they're working on tweaking that, actually, because there have been, you know, situations where people are getting banned just because they do accidental betrayals because of, you know, very explosive maps or something like that.
Yeah, like my roommate and I were playing I guess it was the second night, and he had a rocket launcher, and he killed two guys, but then he killed someone on our team by accident because he got in the way, and we got booted for, even though we shouldn't have gotten booted because it wasn't even intentional.
Yeah. I've had that happen a lot.
And he was trying to betray us at the beginning of the game.
Right.
You know, another thing that is interesting on that is that it's not just the death that counts on the betrayal. It's any damage they do. So even if they do just a little bit of damage and they keep hitting you or something, because remember in Halo 2, people would just take your shields off and just not kill you?
Yeah.
Just piss you off real bad.
Yeah.
Ooh, I hated when they did that. I liked it better when they killed me, man.
I know.
But I hated it when they just kept taking my shield down and there was nothing you could do about it.
Yep.
But now that adds up.
That counts towards them for betrayals, and eventually they'll get on probation.
So what you do is you just let them do that a lot. You let them do that a lot, and then you like just tick them off just enough to make them kill you. Then you boot them. It's awesome. I've done that. I did it on Hammers the other day.
Yeah,
nice. Pretty awesome.
Of course, that's, you know, it's kind of frustrating when you're doing a 4v4 game and you lose any one player because now you're down to 75% of the other team.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a big difference. But if they're just killing you anyway, you might as well. So,
I mean, they're actually hindering the team because they're taking your shields down too. So, I mean, if they're gone, you're actually better off.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to cut your losses. But anyway, those are cool features. And the active roster is super cool too. It's great to be able to see everyone, no matter what lobby you're in, and be able to see what everyone else is doing and check their armor type and
quickly invite them to the game.
Well, also who's in whose party. Like, people within your friends list, if they're in the same party, they're grouped together on the active roster.
Yeah.
So you can see, like, and I wish there was, like, a feature where I could see, like, ghosted players in their party, like, that aren't on my friends list. But I guess that would bring up some privacy issues or something. But, like, I've got a full friends list, and there are people that I like to play with that I don't have on my friends list. I probably need to go in and clean my friends list out. I'll probably help a lot, but...
Hopefully they have that friends list expansion sometime soon.
Maybe.
Yeah, that would be great.
That'd be awesome. Please.
So Halo 2's gone. I'm betting it's going to happen with the dashboard update for Natal. Natal. I'm never going to be calling it Connect. So I'm Connect, just going to say Natal.
Natal's weird though. Natal's like a birthing.
Like, it does sound kind of like that, doesn't it?
It's like natal. It's like. You know, if a woman is prenatal, it's...
Yeah, like, deep breath.
I don't know. To me, it's always going to be Natal.
At least Connect is about movement, you know? It's like kinetic. You know, look, I'm moving around in front of a camera. It's not like I'm having a birth in front of a camera.
Kinetic would have been better.
Kinetic,
but that's all right.
It doesn't roll off the tongue as well. To be fair, everybody thought Wii was the worst name in the world back in, 2006. And nowadays, people just say Wii. Nobody ever thinks of that.
Nope.
Yep.
Like, I mean, it's weird how that is completely out of, like, you know, the universe of slang anymore. When you hear a Wii, you don't think of, like, oh, Wiener is... You know?
Yeah.
You think,
Nintendo,
hey, man.
Nintendo, cleaning up the English language one word at a time.
Waggle, you think of Wiimotes.
Yep.
And broken TVs. That was a huge deal back when the Wii was new. People broke their TVs all the time because they didn't wear the wrist strap.
Even though they told you to wear the wrist strap.
Yeah. Yep. And then they started sending out condoms for them. You remember the Wiimote condoms? They were like these big fluffy bumpers that you would put on. They were like transparent.
Now they give it to them on
it is really
default.
Yeah, they would send it to you. Nowadays they come with it.
Yeah, it's pretty funny though. It's like the idiot proof container for the...
It's like a football helmet for your Wiimote.
Yep. Beyond that, it's like a giant bubble shield or something.
Yeah.
You know, back to Halo, one thing I was going to say is that one thing I wish they really had was reverse queue join, to where when someone sends you an invite and you're in a game, you can reverse queue join and you can press a button to say, as soon as I'm done with this game, I'll jump into their game. That would be super cool.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because there's queue join, and you know you can join someone's game that's in progress. However, a lot of times I've run out of trouble with that too. There's
you have to back out.
No, I mean for some reason, like you go down your friends list, and it's like there's the join player thing, and even for ones that are in matchmaking, it won't let you even queue join their party.
Yeah,
which I don't understand.
That's weird.
I mean, even if it's a full party, I mean, unless it's a party of eight, you should be able to queue join even a party of four, because then it becomes five, and then you could just choose another game type or whatever. Unless they've set the party limit at four or whatever. So I don't know. I don't think I've run into any of that specifically. I think it's more of just I'm thinking maybe it's some kind of bug or something. I don't know. I could be wrong. But right, it annoys me that I can't press X next to everybody and just join or queue join their party.
I know what you're saying, dude. Yeah, all I'm saying is they should have put us in the focus group.
Yep.
They should have done it.
Yeah, we would have been
we could have polished this game, man.
It would also be
the first thing you need to do is put a Podtacular logo on everybody. And after that...
It'd be interesting if you could, like, see who's waiting on your game to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Like, blankety blank has queued to join your game, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. See, but then, and I was thinking of that. See, that's where I came up with this reverse queue join thing. Is at first I was like, you know, there should be like when someone is queued to join your game, it should be like a grayed out row that has their game tag on and everything else. And that's fine when you're in like the loading screen or something like that in between. But when you're in a game, there's really no reason to look at that or for that to be available. So really, the reverse queue join kind of you know, makes more sense as far as like being able to do that while you're in a game, and then it would show up as like a grayed out indicator in your party while you're sitting there waiting for people to join. It's like, oh, this person's going to join as soon as they're done.
You know, it'd be messed up if like they made it to where whenever you queued to join someone's game, like instead of joining their game, it automatically pulls them out of their game without letting them know back into your party. So you'd just be playing like Score Attack or something, and all of a sudden you're in like this dude's party. You're like, hey, dude. You're like, what? Where'd you come from?
How's it going? Yeah.
What's up? I pulled you in here, dog.
Yeah. We're gonna
play some arena. How about that? You're like, I want to play Score Attack. It's like, no, you don't. You're playing not arena.
You're playing my game.
Like Tron.
We're playing some custom 1v1.
On my Forge map. Check this out, dude.
Awesome. You will play it and you will like it.
Recommend this to your friends, all right? Send them the file.
Yeah. Oh, that's another cool thing I was going to mention is that you can now while you're playing any game type, whether it be multiplayer or single player or whatever, cooperative or competitive, you can press start and go into the file browser, and you can go to temporary files and you can save that game type or map. So that you can use that later. So, or the film or whatever it is, so that you can, you know, easily get back to that.
Yeah,
that
reminds me. There's lots of different areas you can do that in now.
That's definitely.
You can do that in the file browser. You can do that actually in the lobby.
Yeah, that's
super really nice.
Before you had to back out, and it was just such a pain to be able to like save a film. Oh, hang on, let me go save that film. I got to back out of my own lobby and send me an invite again, and you know, doing all that stuff. So,
yeah, you can do that from the start menu now, which is. Very, very nice.
That's a big help. You know, another thing I was thinking would be a super cool feature is that if while you're playing a game at any point, you could press like up on the D-pad or whatever it is, and it would set like a marker so that later on you could go back.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and
that'd be cool.
Jump right to that marker so that you could play a video from that point, or you could take a screenshot right from that point. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be really cool.
Have to like remember where, you know, oh, let's see, it was 10 minutes in or something like that. You know, how am I going to find the spot again? And fast forwarding or rewinding and jumping back and forth. So you could just skip right to it. Anyway, I think that'd be cool.
We should have been the focus test group.
Oh, yeah. Should've.
But, yeah, not to say anything's, you know, there's definitely a lot of great stuff and huge improvements over Halo 3, so. Very cool stuff.
Yeah.
Kudos on Bungie.
Pretty much the best game.
Yeah.
For Halo so far.
No doubt.
Dustin, when are you going to download my my Forge map?
Whenever it's done.
And like right after it's done.
Send it to me.
I'm going to send it to you. You're going to check
whenever
it out.
You send it to me.
Well, I
recommend it to all your friends.
Oh no! I want to remake my Chiron map and my Maze map.
Ah. Uh-huh. Sounds cool.
You remember those screensavers they had in like the mid to late 90s that were like the maze?
Yeah.
Like Doom.
Yes.
You should make something like that, dude. That'd be sweet.
No, my next maze I'm going to make is going to be multi-leveled.
Dude, we've got like 13-year-old listeners like, what the hell are they talking about?
Windows 95,
what is this Windows 95? Like the 95th Windows? Like, why are they down to Windows 7? What happened?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it was made when you were born.
Windows Millennium Edition, what?
Yeah, I remember those mazes.
Those were funny.
I would always watch them, too.
Yeah, you sit there and stare at him.
Yeah,
like,
I know. But you wouldn't go away. It's like, okay, I'm going to wait for the screensaver to come on. Wait for the screensaver to come on.
I got
to
see what's around this next corner. Hang on.
It's like, wait, oh, I already know that's a dead end. No, don't go there.
Yeah, you're just going to turn around. Oh, it turned around.
And it always turns left.
Yeah.
And then when you get turned upside down.
Oh, yeah, it flips it sideways. Like
then you see the rat, and then there's the rat.
I need to go download one of those right now.
Watch a YouTube video of one or something and just stare at it for a while.
It's sweet, man. It's retro, dude. It's awesome. It's retro shriek. Or chic. Say it.
Wow, we're nerds.
I don't know if you can say a lot of words, but I do remember that that screensaver. I remember because my grandmother worked at an office where she had a really, really old computer. She had one of those on there, and I just sit out and, you know, look at it for like minutes at a time, like 5 minutes. I just sit there and just stare at the screen. Oh man, it was a great screensaver. There were a lot of wacky screensavers back then too. They had the aquarium. You remember that?
Yep.
Oh yeah,
that one.
Big thing.
Yep. Man, that one's old.
The little lines that would
man,
like.
Man, Brent, you're showing me how old I am. Stop it.
I gotta go, guys.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming, Fumo.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Maybe you'll be on this weekend.
Return of the King.
Maybe get JBB on as well.
Oh man, that'd be awesome. Be cool.
But Keith will probably be coming as well. He wants to be on the show.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Have you met Keith from The Running Riot?
I have not.
He's a cool dude. You'll like him.
You will.
He's awesome.
Oh, nice.
He's old like you.
Oh, thank you, I think.
You should just be like, hey, man, remember the screensaver, all right?
Yeah, just bring that up.
Yeah, you remember the screensaver, so can't call me old.
I remember Windows 3.1 is like the box that would fold in and out.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that one.
The box that would fold in and out.
Like, it would bloom out into... like these bubbles, or like a big box.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like a bubble shrink would like spikes collapse the bubbles. Then, yeah, implode on itself.
Yeah. Do that whole cycle and bounce around the screen.
Oh, I
remember that was like Windows 3.1 or something like that.
Yep.
You remember when like AOL 4.0 CDs were like big? Like they'd send you one and like every week in the mail.
Oh, my God.
You'd have a ton of like AOL CDs.
You could, like, tuck them under your belt and use them for Ninja Stars, man.
Yeah, you could make a lot of stuff out of those.
Yep.
Wait, what version did they quit doing that at? Like
9. They still send them out, though, every once in a while. I see another one.
I vaguely remember some commercial from, like, that era that was like, AOL version 7.0, and it was, like, real crazy.
Yeah, I remember that, too.
I remember that commercial, man.
All right, I'm out for good this time.
Okay, right. Thanks for coming.
See you guys later.
Thanks.
All right.
Oh, geez, that was those were interesting commercials.
Oh yeah,
and they had like the jingle to them. And...
ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, it was that was interesting. Oh gosh,
halcyon days of the internet.
Oh man, we're old.
We're not that old.
Yeah.
We're old enough to remember the early 90s. Which is a problem, supposedly, I guess.
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, I mean, we got to remember something from that time period. Something had to have happened back
clean sweep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, gosh. People don't know about that, do they?
Yeah.
Except the few that we've showed that to.
I guess we should move on to submissions, see what people are saying, see what our community has to say about Halo Reach. Halo
Reach, yes, indeed.
Halo Reach!
Halo
Reach. You have spoken, and we have listened. Ketchup says, "Hello, Plotacular. I just wanted to let you know that there is a new medal for Halo Reach called Hell's Jerome that is awarded for killing 15 zombies without dying. I, for one, think this is utter heresy. Jerome could kill way more than 15. Try 15,000. All right. So, have you got this yet? Is it? I haven't gotten it yet, but I have played Infection.
I haven't played any multiplayer that much. So, I played with my roommate, but I haven't played like on my account, so I don't have any multiplayer matches.
Right.
Under my gamer tag.
So, I think it's cool that they're acknowledging Jerome here. That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty cool.
That is cool. I think I saw Jerome in a video that Mega 64 did. Do you keep up with any of Mega 64's stuff?
No.
They do sketch comedy about gaming, but it's like live action, and they make these really funny skits if you keep up with the gaming industry and all that stuff. Okay. Even if you're into gaming, it's pretty funny stuff. Anyway, every year they do this skit because for some reason Halo games are always released on the same day that a Cabela's game, Cabela like the hunting company, puts out a video game on the same day of every Halo. It like happened on Halo 3, and the Mega 64 guys always pretend that they're the guys that are making Cabela, and they act like rednecks and hicks and stuff. And they're like, "Damn it, Bungie did it again! They released it during Cabela. We're not going to sell many copies." Like they do this every time because it happened for Halo 3 and it happened for Halo ODST, and now it happened for Reach again. And they put out a video where the Mega 64 guys run into the Bungie studios to like attack the Bungie guys for putting it out on Cabela's release date.
Right.
And like Jerome pulls out a grav hammer and like fends them off.
Wow.
So I'll send you the link later and we'll put it up in the show notes for the people to see.
Fair enough.
It's a pretty awesome video. Pretty cool.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
What do you think about Jerome? You still like Jerome?
I still like Jerome. It'd be cool if we could get him on the show.
I wish we could get a picture with him.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And, like smiling, and he's got like a grav hammer or something.
Yeah,
it'd be funnier if we gave him like a plasma pistol. That'd be
cool. That'd we're holding the plasma pistols. We need to get like.
You'd have to take off his armor, dude.
We had to get like the Think Geek ones.
It would have been messed up, but it would have been also really, really cool if they had a model of like Jerome as an enemy in Halo Reach that you had to fight off. And he was like the most powerful enemy. He had like, it took.
I would just say as an ally, as one.
He's like real fast, and he had like brute movements, and he always has a grav hammer, like every time. It's like a 2x recharge rate grav hammer, so he can like swing it twice as fast. That'd be sweet.
I just say make him a marine or something, one of the marines.
Oh yeah, that'd be weird.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Moving on to another submission. Mr. Pickles.
Mr. Pickles. He
specifically asked me to read it, so I will.
Do it.
"Hey, Plotacular, I'm writing this on 9/11/2010, and I wanted to know if any of you are excited about the Falcon in Halo Reach. For some reason, I'm uber excited about it and can't wait for someone to jump into the rotors with me. Writing this 3 days away from Reach, I don't have much longer to wait. I love the show and will try to become a regular submitter. Keep on fragging noobs on the elephant, Mr. Pickles. P.S. Brent rocks. You're right. But Mr. Pickles, you rock more than I do." So thank you for the compliment.
Nah. Rock.
No, I mean, I do rock, but I'm saying Mr. Pickles rocks too. It takes a rocker to know one, man.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. It's a long way to
the top if you want to rock and roll.
I know what you're saying, man. James Barber writes in. Okay, just it.
Hey, whoa. We didn't talk about the Falcon. He asked if we were excited about the Falcon.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yes. Well, like I said earlier, I already mentioned that I like the Falcon more than the Hornet.
I like Grenade Falcon. I don't like the Gatling Gun Falcon.
So can you choose like which type you can
pull? I haven't checked that in Forge yet, but I think you can. I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah, I like the grenade one too, because you can shoot that one pretty fast.
Oh yeah, it's pretty sweet.
It's almost like trigger spamming.
Yep. Wait, now you can move on to James Barber. We've talked about the Falcon.
Okay.
Cool.
Sorry, Mr. Pickles. I was getting too quick to my rock out mode. James Barber writes in, "Okay, just to get right to the point, I think you guys are awesome, and I'm jealous of all the stuff you guys have that I can't because of my limited budget and the fact that my mom hates Halo 4 and my dad and stepmom are biased against it for whatever reason. Though I am just as committed to Halo as I am to Star Wars. I've been subscribed to you for maybe a year now. With the arrival of school, I am only now beginning to wade into the plethora of episodes that I have accumulated. By the way, is the theme that you guys play at the beginning and end of your podcast available on iTunes? Hope to see you on the battlefield on Reach, and long live Halo.
Halo!
I think we've got this question the last three times on the show. Maybe last two times.
Yeah, everybody wants the theme. So what is it again?
It is by DJ Recoil, and it's, I'm looking up the title real quick.
Baby by Justin Bieber. Featuring.
No.
Featuring Dustin.
No, I'm not even going that far.
Oh man, you would star in a video with Justin Bieber. Trust me, I would too. Think of the money, Dustin. No one's gonna care if you star in a Justin Bieber movie. That's actually something to put on your resume, like, because those are awesome videos.
No way. I would be ashamed if I had Justin Bieber on my resume.
You should be ashamed that you wouldn't star in a Justin Bieber video. That you're that uptight. Way to go, Dustin. Way to go. While I'm sitting in my gold-plated
hot tub, I just don't care.
I bought with the money. I star with Justin Bieber. You're going to be sitting there like playing Halo all sad. All right. And I'm going to be
playing Halo happy, listening to my Marty music.
I'm going to be playing Halo, and it's going to be on a bigger TV than yours because I bought a huge TV because I starred in a video with Justin Bieber. Hey, like damn apples.
Then if that's the way you want to get your TV, fair enough. Go for it. I'm not one to stop you. But to answer his question, it's by DJ Recoil. The track is called Halo Alpha Remix, and you can find it on Newgrounds, and I'll put it in the show notes.
Sweet. I think I've seen, I've heard it on Newgrounds once on accident. I was just listening to the Audio Portal radio, and it came on. I was like, hey, that's the Podtacular theme.
That's the Podtacular theme. But actually, we're changing a new theme for this episode because we're now doing Halo Reach.
Hey, it's the Halo Reach theme. Is it going to be funny or is it going to be awesome?
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be epic.
Is it going to be something our listeners have heard before?
It will probably most likely be, since there hasn't been really many remixes off of the Halo soundtrack yet.
Yeah.
So unless someone wants to mix something for us.
Is it the Flintstones kids theme?
No, it is not. I'm sorry.
10 million strong and growing.
With Brian Friends.
You know who made the...
Yeah, Marty O'Donnell.
Obviously, Marty, yeah.
Marty O'Donnell.
I always thought that was weird.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
It is kind of creepy. I mean, not creepy, but weird.
And Frankie.
Used to be Frankie. I miss that.
Yeah, and then they replaced
it. I miss when Frankie was part of Bungie.
They replaced it with the elephant noise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to Wilbatron. Reach came out today, and it is unbelievable.
Unfreaking believable.
Freaking believable.
I need to find that sound clip and insert it right there.
Yeah, over us. Online is a much better experience. It somehow feels more organized, and there are not so many cheap kills. Forge controls are hard to get the hang of at first, and I was raging. I was also looking through the medals, and the one for 15 zombie kills is called Hell's Drome, just like Mr. Pickles said up. Well, no, not Mr. Pickles. Ketchup said earlier. And does this refer to Jerome, the security guard? Yes, it does. You got anything to say about that, Dustin?
No, other than we were talking that like a couple months ago, where it'd be just be cool to walk up to Bungie Studios just to meet Jerome. Like, you guys have to get out of here. It's like, but we want to meet you, Jerome. You're so cool and inspirational. You're silent.
I'm just saying, dude. Just move on. We love Jerome. It's true.
Okay. DaftLink I17 writes in, hey, Podtac, it's DaftLink here to give you my Reach impressions. So yesterday, or September 14th, I was going to do campaign but couldn't resist and jumped straight into matchmaking. I feel right at home and can confidently say that Bungie fixed things like grenades since the beta. Also, the vehicles feel much smoother and easier to drive. After that, I did some firefight and got rocket fight. It was a lot of fun to fight elites in firefight, and I got a couple of achievements like Lucky Me, which is the triple with the jetpack. And I'll probably start campaign on solo legendary later today. Keep on fragging the Cuffies and the Horde. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Love it.
Oh, yeah. I actually found that some parts of the campaign on legendary seemed easier on legendary than it did heroic, but maybe that's just because I played heroic first and then I knew what was going on.
Yeah, you kind of knew what was up. I mean, the same way with me.
There were definitely spots in legendary where I had to resort to the noob combo.
I would guess that your DMR skills were also significantly increased, whether or not you noticed it, just over the course of one playthrough.
Yeah, it was. Although I still get the occasional instance where I'm spamming right around the head and I can't even get a solid hit.
Oh, you're just spamming just a little bit too much. You have to slow down. Yeah.
Well, not that. It's sometimes just the aim too. My aim is just still not solid. No matter how much Halo I play, I just never get that solid aim.
Yeah, down. I can't do it either. I wiggle around a lot.
I mean, the pros just disgust me and how accurate they can be within split
seconds. Yeah, they're like cyborgs, dude. The robotic.
It's like, oh, I need to move the joystick in this direction.
This much for this long.
It's like, how the heck do you do that?
It's like they have a different set of muscles in their thumb that allow for like super precise movement.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Want to move on to Karts?
Let's move on to Karts.
All right. Karts says, Karts has two submissions. Karts' first submission.
Karts is an old member. He's like way back from Pod Tech. Really old.
Yeah. Yep. He says, I love the single-player gameplay in Reach. The story is not as good as the other Halos, but gameplay-wise, I truly believe Reach triumphs. And I agree with that, too. There were a lot of things in Reach that I don't think the story was better, but I think gameplay-wise, it was a lot better. I think they could have done better with the final sequence, but I'm not going to spoil that for anybody.
I think the story was a lot better than Halo 3's.
All right. He goes on to say, I love the intensity of having elites with swords rushing me. Meanwhile, I am targeted by a suicide grunt and another wielding a fuel rod. Also, hunters actually show some threat in this game. I never feared hunters in Halo until this game. The jackals have stronger shields and are much more stable. They won't be staggered by bullets as much. And, however, I hate the friendly AI whenever a vehicle is involved. They're the worst drivers ever. That's true. They do kind of suck at driving. Just as bad.
I think the allied AIs are just the worst out of all the games.
Oh, yeah. They are.
They're freaking invincible, but.
The Noble Team Spartans don't do anything. They sit there.
I mean, I just let them.
I'm fighting like 10 jackals, and they just sit there. They don't do anything.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
It's good job on being a bad Spartan.
No, and then there was a time the other day that a guy walked by a room with like an elite in it. He shot him a little bit, and went on. And then I walked past the room, and I get like total shield drain from this elite.
The Spartans just need to be more.
It's like aggressive. You seriously couldn't finish him off for me, really? Yeah,
they just need to be more aggressive. They need to go out and start finding fights.
I mean, the enemy AIs are fighting. I think are like some of the best in the Halo series.
Yeah, just like tweak the enemy AI. It's like the enemy AI, they don't have any problem finding me on Legendary when I'm hiding out.
No, like, and they find me behind rocks when they can't even see me.
Yeah, they don't see me. And like whenever I pop my head out, they instantly shoot me. Like, just take those guys' AI. I'm just like, tone it down a little bit.
I mean, the ally AIs just suck.
Yeah, it's a lot better. Obviously, I don't know any portion of... I don't know anything about developing AIs for video games, and it might be tough or something, but...
Well, I mean, to me, it seems like if you can develop the enemy AI that well, you should be able to do some the allied AI somewhat decently.
Yeah.
I mean, even for driving... I mean, seriously, the driving for like Halo 1 and Halo 2 allied AIs was a ton better than what it was in Halo Reach.
I think that for every level that they have a Warthog, there should be some sort of set path that the AI driver of the Warthog will always go down every time. And any time he was knocked off that path, they would automatically try to reset onto the path.
Well, they do. It's just that to reset on the path, they like back in and out every time until they get right on the path again and then go.
Well, whatever they do, it's stupid. We'll move on to Cart's second submission.
Well, we don't need to finish the first hate, one, have we?
Get out of all this hate.
We haven't even finished, yeah, we finished the first one.
Yeah, we did.
No, you got to the part where
oh, okay, we got drivers. To worst drivers ever. All right. Cart says, just as bad as the people that cross four lanes at once with no signal. AI drivers, that's true. They also take forever to simply enter the passenger seat. I also enjoy the strategy guide this time around. More in-depth. In-depth, I guess he was trying to say. Over 400 pages. It was nice paying $11 for it when it's regularly $23. The cashier said I would pay 30% off. I guess she's not a friend of numbers or something. Okay. The cashier screwed up, I guess he's trying to say, and he got it for $11.
Nice.
Good job. So what do you think of money, Dustin? What do you think of the Halo strategy guide?
Did you ever want to buy it? I really don't buy strategy guides. The only one I've bought ever was a Pokemon one.
Yeah, Pokemon guides are kind of important because They're not really guides as much as they're compendiums of knowledge. You know, you have access to all sorts of information.
I mean, it's basically just to help you. They're more useful for adventure game type games than like first person shooters.
Not like Call of Duty and stuff.
No, like those basically just tell you what you can figure out in about 2 hours of playing a game.
But for games where you need a lot of information.
Yeah, like adventure games or RPGs. MMOs
are big about that. There are entire websites dedicated to MMO knowledge, especially for stuff like WoW.
Well, because you have to.
You have to.
Yeah, I mean, Halo, yeah, I mean, it's more useful than not having it to have it. Where for like Halo or Call of Duty, you really don't. It's easy to pick up. You don't need like good knowledge of that kind of stuff. You just need to have a good understanding and reaction to other players,
right?
In your environment, it's more strategy than it is adventure.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways, moving on to the second one.
Second one. I just found a glitch in the game. If you jump on a hunter's head, he won't attack and other hunters won't neither. This makes it incredibly easy to kill them. I also love playing firefight with waves of hunters without using the above exploit. The hunters are like way too powerful this time around, I think.
Oh my gosh, they're freaking...
take forever to kill, man.
Oh man.
They're beast.
I mean, they're fun to fight against, but they're a lot more of an opponent than they have been in any of the previous Halo games. Like they can jump, they can swing their arms everywhere. I mean, they're a force to be reckoned with now, unlike what they were in past games.
Oh yeah. There have been times when I've like plugged 6 or 7 grenades from the grenade launcher into an elite, or not an elite, a hunter perfectly.
Yeah.
And they don't die. It takes forever to kill them.
Yeah, it takes forever.
I think it takes like 5 or 6 rockets to take them out.
I did, though, on legendary, 2 laser shots in the back and they're dead.
2 in the back?
Yeah.
That's still like way more than it probably should because you're like shooting in the most sensitive area of the hunter.
Yeah.
And it's still taking 2 shots from the Spartan laser. I've noticed that
the worms must have had a really fast healing rate back then.
Yeah.
That's my only thing there.
I guess. They were more cool back then. They were awesome.
They were like pets.
Yeah.
Stall Me Please writes in, "Hey everyone, it's the Watch Stealer, Stall Me Please. I'm sorry that it's been so long. I recently got out of jail for stealing Alex Rodriguez's leather watch, so I thought it would be a great time to submit my first impressions of Reach. I have only completed about 21% of the campaign, but so far I feel that it rivals Halo 1's single player, which I will agree to. I've spent some time working on a map, which I will save for Customs and Creation show. Forge World is blastastic. I, however, have spent 10 minutes in Firefight. It's not that I don't like it. It's just that I have already played Firefight in ODST, and I have so many other things to experience before I jump into Firefight. But I've spent zillions of minutes in matchmaking, and I love it so, so, so much. It is the best Halo multiplayer to date. Everything is just as balanced as always, and I am looking forward to hopping into some firefight with some fellow Potakians. I love the 1 million and 2 million credit armor abilities. It will give us the opportunity to work towards something for possibly years. Let's see, the visuals are gorgeous, Marty is God, and elites are fun monkeys. Okay. In my executive opinion, Reach is one of my top games of this year and the best Halo game on the market today. That's all I got. Keep on fragging Dusty for his inability to direct traffic. G. Lewis for somehow still being considered a co-host. Ouch. That's cold. But I think he has a point. Can I also be considered as a co-host? Maybe. Not. Considering I've just been in as many shows in the past year. I love you guys. Peace. Yeah, but I think Firefight, you'll probably get to liking a lot once you get into it. At least it sounds like from what Fumo and Brent have described from Firefight, it's a lot better, and the matchmaking's a whole lot more in-depth and just a whole lot more fun with the different matchmaking options in there.
I agree with everything Dustin just said.
Yes, thank you, Brent.
Oh, man.
And since you agreed, you want to start with the next one?
Yeah, would the next one happen to be Punxsutawney Phil?
It would happen to be Punxsutawney.
All right, Mr. Punxsutawney Phil. I got Halo Reach yesterday, launch day, and thanks to junior year, I've only been able to play about an hour and a half. But that hour and a half was a great hour and a half. I started off with campaign on heroic, enjoying the Beaver Zone Overlook scenery of the second mission.
Highway I made it through to the
Beaver Zone. I made it through with only two deaths.
Speaking
one at the
of which,
hands.
You get that guy on the show.
Oh yeah. Two deaths, one of which was at the hands of five or so elites, and one at the plasma-filled paws of a suicide grunt. I don't think those are actually paws, but I added that for alliteration. Today, I played what I believe to be half of Oni Sword Vase and got about halfway through before I had to leave. I played some campaign, getting a match of Slayer DMRs on Boardwalk Inn. Despite losing, I really enjoyed sniping jetpackers out of the air with a more powerful feeling sniper. Might be the weaker Spartans, though, I don't know. A warning to all non-dusties, do not look at anybody or
whoa,
do
whoa,
not
whoa,
look.
Whoa, 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 you missed a line.
Where? Oh, yeah, finally, I've ogled Forge World a bit. I've spent about 8 minutes on it, but it was long enough for me to cry rainbows at the beauty and scale of it. A warning to all non-dusties, do not look anyone up on Halopedia. I tried to find out what Emil's accent sounds like. See? Nobody knows what Emil's accent sounds like. And right below his bio section, there were suddenly spoilers. I only got one, but they're unmarked and everywhere, so look out. So, I guess I'm not the only guy that doesn't know what kind of accent Emil has, but I know he's an emo, and I know that I don't like him very much, even though I'm wearing his helmet on my avatar right now. Hmm. Keep on fragging people that call out in pterodactyl support when they get Halo killstreaks, and you're like, that's not even in Halo, and then you get hit by the pterodactyl's laser vision and die. Signing out.
Is pterodactyl really spelled with P?
Yeah. Yep.
Really?
Yeah. The P is silent.
I had no clue. Okay.
Well, now you know. Reading Rainbow.
Now I know.
LeVar Burton. Oh. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Did they have those when you were in school?
I was always mesmerized by how he somehow disappeared from the screen.
I always loved the theme song. Like, the theme song was great, and then everything after that I don't remember.
Like,
I just remember, I could drive twice as hard, or something crazy.
Like how he disintegrated from the screen. I was like, oh man, I wish I could do that.
Oh yeah. As well as because he's LeVar Burton.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, he's Geordi LaForge from Next Generation, you know?
Exactly. With the nice visor.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So,
next one's from Giphy Boy 92. He says, hey, Potek, it's Giphy. I haven't sent stuff in a long while. But with the launch of Reach and all the new stuff to talk about, I figured I would put in my 2 cents. I was playing through the campaign like everybody opening night, and when I got to the mission with June, let me scan this for spoilers real quick. Okay, this isn't really spoil material. When I got to the mission with June, I was exploring the environment, looking for Easter eggs and whatnot, and I stumbled across a data pad laying on the grass off the beaten path. I was just wondering if this was like the terminal thing from Halo 3. Yes, it is. It seemed like it may not only be only a data pad in the game. I was just wondering if anyone knows about these, anything about this. Well, that's pretty much it for my submission. Keep up the good work, you guys, and I can't wait to see all of the awesome custom games that come out of Forge World. Keep on fragging them trucks. This is Giphy Boy signing off.
Yep.
If you go onto Achievement Hunter or YouTube and search for data pads, there are actually 19 of them. There's 9 in normal campaign gameplay, and then there's 10 in legendary campaign. And it, from what I've seen, it goes into a lot of the debate between the, behind the Spartan program. So go check them out. I'm sure there's sites that already have transcripts up there, but
right.
I mean, we'll have a guide coming out probably within 2 weeks on them as well. We're going to have our achievement guides probably coming out starting this weekend when I start to record stuff and my voice gets back to 100%.
100%!
My voice is it's over like, 9,000!
Right now my voice is only like 70%.
But you're not sick.
Yeah, but I've been getting tongue-tied a lot. Swear it up. I can't say ascension to like save my life. Like very quick, I have to kind of like draw it out. I'd be like, ascension.
Ascension.
Ascension. Ascension. Ascension. Maybe I should just sit there and practice that all day.
Or just say
ass. That's clever. All right. T-Bone110 says, hello, Podtacular. This is T-Bone110, and I'm here to say some controversial things about the Halo Reach campaign and multiplayer. First things first, and probably the thing that will make the most people curse my name, I think that the Halo Reach campaign was better than Halo CE. If you wipe away the nostalgia and just look at it in terms of story and gameplay, I had much more fun with Reach. It's like watching a funny show. The first episode is always remembered, and we try to make everything match it. Next up, I want to say that I felt like certain Spartans didn't see as much love as others. Kat and George were like your best friends in terms of how much time you spent with them, where Carter and Emil were like the people you hang out with when the people you normally hang out with aren't around. The multiplayer is a little staggering at first. I spent time just looking at the menus saying, what do I do? Do I go for some co-op action and firefight and an epic battle and invasion or something more classic in the other playlists? I do feel that the remade maps are some of the best in the game, but some of the Reach maps shine just as brightly. Pinnacle, Asylum, Powerhouse, Zealot, Paradiso, and The Cage all feel like a pool full of awesome. I don't like The Cage that much. I don't know why.
I haven't played it.
Have you played it? It's a new Forge World map.
Wait a second. I've seen videos of it. Because Bungie did a video of it the day before Reach came out. They released a gameplay for it. I mean, it looks like it could be fun.
It's okay, but it's not as fun as the other maps.
I'm assuming Paradiso or Pinnacle. Sorry. Is going to be one of the fun ones, and the Hemorrhage, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Is Hemorrhage still... Is Hemorrhage made to the... almost to the point where you could do the 4-hour Capture the Flag games again?
Yeah. It's almost exactly the same as COAG. Unlike COAG, it doesn't have, like, the... obviously, it doesn't have the Banshee port.
And it doesn't have the back wall.
Yeah. You can put that in Forge, I think.
Well, yeah, I guess you could, but...
I wish they would have put it in regular, but I kind of miss having that wall in the back, but it doesn't mess it up that much. Really, well, there's
the
a lot
you could,
of...
You could back the tank up there and just spam the other base with tank shells.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the real thing behind that. And then it was the place to run away from when people started invading your base with, like, warthogs, and you could snipe from back there as well.
Right.
I mean, granted, it doesn't, like, drastically affect the dynamic of that map, but it's still kind of a missing piece. But I mean, I really just like
drastically affect the way that map plays. It's crazy. You will be like, if you go anywhere in the middle of a field on hemorrhage, you will get killed because the range on those DMRs are so great, and you'll have like their entire team just.
Well, I mean, it was almost like that for Blood Gulch, except you had.
Not with battle rifles as much. I'm saying these things are like precise at a distance. When you get three or four people shooting them, it doesn't matter because even if three of them miss, one of them's going to hit. Right. And after a while, you're just dead in the middle of the field. You can't run in the middle of the field in Halo Reach because you will die.
The 3x zoom is an interesting choice, too, instead of the 2x.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, continue.
All right. Let's see. Honestly, the only map that doesn't stand up as tall is Boardwalk, just because it has a very boring look to it. I kind of agree. I don't like Boardwalk's kind of boring looking. I don't like the way it plays. Have you played Boardwalk? It's the
well, like I said, I haven't played much at all. The only ones I've played is Spire.
Right.
And I believe it's one of the Forge ones.
Paradiso?
This might be Paradiso.
Maybe.
This is the one with the two Forge bases on either side.
Right.
And then you have the middle ramp up to the kind of the mountain area up in the middle. Yeah, okay, that one. Those are the only two I've really played.
All right. He goes on to say, in terms of gameplay, it's 8.5 out of 10, though it just happens to make me yawn when I look at it. What, the game? Oh, I think he's talking about Boardwalk.
Yeah, I think he's talking about...
So Firefight feels like a real thing now. I play it as much as I play any other game type. Also, the crazy game types are a ton more fun. Personally, Crash Site and Score Attack is awesome. Well, that's my full novel on Halo Reach. Good luck on the rest of the show. Okay.
Sounds good.
It's awesome.
My roommate just tried to sneak in on me for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Weird.
But it looks like he was trying to do it sneakily and he didn't succeed. Next one on the list is Pokemon Master Indy. He writes in, sorry about not submitting in a while, but I was busy playing Reach. Well, of course everyone was. I think that the campaign, Firefight, Forge are amazing in Halo Reach. I enjoy messing around in Forge when I'm bored, playing Firefight to get at least 600 credits per game, and playing the campaign to see how Reach fell. To avoid spoilers, I won't say anything about the campaign, to be nice to the people who haven't finished it yet. Thank you very much. Sorry for if the submission was long. No, it's not. But I have a lot of time on my hands during the weekend, so I shall sign off keep on fragging co-hosts of a podcast that would never show up to a recording, and no one ever gives an explanation on why they never show up. I guess he's having a little podcasting troubles himself.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Oh man, I know what it's like, you know. People not showing up. I remember when BS Angel was like 2 hours late and we thought she
was... Yeah, because it was the time.
I remember I was so mean. I was like, oh, man, BS Angel, I just can't believe it. Like, why couldn't you just told us she wasn't going to show up? Like, and of course, she finally did. But I didn't know. I thought she was giving us the runaround.
Yeah.
It's a rough world out there, you know? Rough podcasting world.
Well, I mean... The whole time zone things. I still don't see how the time zones are that tricky, but I guess they are somehow.
People don't. I've always understood them. I don't know how you wouldn't understand them, but
yeah.
I guess some people don't. I mean,
yeah, and I don't think she's really been on many podcasts.
Right. No, I mean it was awesome when she got here. I mean it really wasn't her fault. Didn't she also have like a thing with somebody else?
Possibly.
That day, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't her fault.
Possibly.
No, she didn't do it on purpose. She doesn't hate us. I think BS Angel likes us.
Yeah, we need to get her on again sometime soon.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Yeah, especially since she's now in her official 343 position.
Okay.
So, yeah. But we're going to do one more. There's a few more submissions here, but we have one pretty long one.
All right. So I'm going to go through this. ODST EJY says, Firefight, Beachhead's a pretty good map. I choose to use the recon class on this map and headshot grunts from above. My other strategy is to just hop into the rocket.
You read the first part where he liked our new site design.
Oh yeah. ODS JY says, "Hey Podtacular, I would just like to say that I really like the new site design. It looks really slick and well done. I will break this down section by section on what I think about Reach. Also, sorry for the ultra long sub." For Firefight, he says, "Beachhead is a pretty good map. I choose to use a recon class on the map and headshot grunts from above."
You okay over there?
Yeah, dude. Just coughing up. Been a little sick lately.
Like
sore throat.
Yeah, I know what that's like. I've been coughing stuff up for 2 days.
Yeah, it sucks. My other strategy is to just hop into the Rocket Hog and pwn some AI. Corvette is my favorite level. It's close quarters and is the level I got the achievement for 1 million points. I boosted, of course. Yeah, he used the cheater map. I did too. Courtyard is a close second. It has great places to spawn and is so much fun to use the grenade launcher on. Glacier is a map I haven't played yet, but I imagine it is almost identical to the campaign level. Holdout I haven't played either, but I imagine it's the same as the campaign level. Outpost is a full May. There isn't a lot of color, and lighting makes me want to throw up. Okay. Overlook is my third favorite. I hated it in the beta, but I love it now. The way you have the high ground and have to defend is very fun. Waterfront is great. You really feel surrounded by the Covenant, and you really feel vulnerable. For multiplayer, he says, "I really don't like Boardwalk," and I agree too. It just feels so plain and just full of man. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. Boneyard is fantastic for Invasion. The way everything is set up is just so amazing. Invasion Slayer is fun, but not fantastic. I guess so. I don't like Boneyard that much. Countdown is very good. Nothing beats it for SWAT and Slayer. It's just fun. There's an edit for Dusty.
Yep. There's been plenty of those tonight. Yep.
Not that many, though.
No. Not as many as last time.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That was a nightmare. We have 8 so far. But anyways, go ahead.
I really love Powerhouse. It works well for Slayer and Stockpile. It has that high ground feel, but also feels fresh. Reflection is just amazing. Team Snipers, which I hate, got voted on for this map. All my team quit out, and I was 1v4. I went up 20-10 until all of them quit out, too. This map can feel so big and small, or it can feel so big and so small at the same time, I guess. I love Ivory Tower. Spire is okay. It's fun on Invasion, but sucks on everything else. I guess I like Spire for BTB Slayer too, though. I really like Sword Base on Classic Slayer. There is only the sprint ability, so no jetpackers makes for some actually really interesting gameplay. Salad sucks because if you get up by 5 points, you can just camp up in space and kill anyone who comes up the vents and just dominates.
It really makes me wonder if MLG is actually going to use the sprint, because I could see them using it or not using it.
Yeah, I think they'd use sprint. They would just
that'd be the only one they use, but I still see them using it.
Your part doesn't have to have armor ability for custom game types.
Right, but I'm still saying I think it might be one that MLG would consider would be to use sprint.
Maybe. Maybe.
But yeah.
Can you imagine the MLG maps they're going to be making for this with the Forge 2 more?
Oh, jeez. I saw a thread already today where they're like just asking for tons of stuff, and people have been sending or already submitting in crap loads of maps.
I should send them in my map, and they just like laugh their ass off. They'd be like, "What is this shit?
What does this Brent kid know about making MLG maps?"
I don't know. I hope my map's all right. I'm going to be proud of it.
I mean, I remember when Hype was actually making a map, and his map was pretty good.
Yeah. ODSTEJY also says about the Forge. Forge is great, but it is also very confusing. Instead of everything circulating around you, you circulate around the object, which I like better. It's hard at first, but it makes for better forging in the end. I've started on my own Forge map and have half of it set up right now. Forging is so much easier, and I just love it. Hooray for super long sub, ODSTEJY.
Yeah, super long sub.
Yeah.
Warning, I am leaving the campaign. This campaign's part in, but it contains a few spoiler things. So, just a note of when you read the show notes. So, that pretty much wraps it up for our first actual Halo Reach show.
Oh yeah, that's it. This is the official one. First one after Reach. We've played it.
Yep.
We've enjoyed it for a week.
And we're gonna enjoy it for many more weeks to come.
Oh yeah.
But we're gonna have Fumo on again, hopefully for the next show, and we'll have a few more people. Hopefully JBB, Keith from the Running Right, will probably be on as well. And we'll try to get some of you guys, the community, on very soon. The first one we'll probably get you guys on is the multiplayer tips, which will be the one 2 weeks out from now. We'll probably do the campaign overview next week.
Yep, spoilerific, though, so watch out.
It'll be spoilerific. That'll be our 2 week deadline that we have for spoilers.
Yep. So if you don't want to know anything about the Halo Reach campaign, do not listen to the next episode.
Yes.
I hate telling people not to listen to our show, though. It's kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah. Or don't listen from 5 minutes to 5 minutes.
But if you have played the campaign, if you have finished the campaign, by all means, please listen to the show because it's going to be interesting.
We're going
to
discuss. I want to hear it. Going to discuss the storyline, what we like, what we don't like, all that good stuff. So, yes, if you have finished the campaign or if you don't care about spoilers like me, please tune into the next show. And we're going to try to be getting these live as soon as possible, but I got to work kinks out with actually getting it to work. So, I think it's time to wrap stuff up unless you got anything else to say.
I love Reach. I thought I was going to hate it.
Yeah,
and maybe that's the reason I love it.
I was thinking about bringing that up, but I decided not to.
I was worried. I was worried about Reach, and maybe it was like my internal like defense system, like said, hate Reach now, so that no matter, you know, even if it sucks a little bit, you'll still love it.
Yeah,
you know, when it comes out. So
yeah,
so I love it. It's great. It's a masterpiece. Not so fond of the campaign story, but the gameplay is great for campaign.
I think the
multiplayer. The multiplayer is incredible. It's the greatest multiplayer console. FPS available.
I don't know. I thought the campaign story was pretty interesting. I mean, it's not.
We'll talk about that next show.
Yeah, I definitely disagree with who was it? T-Bone's post about Halo Reach campaign being better than Halo CE. I think Halo 1's campaign was the best out of all of them. But
right.
I think the Halo Reach campaign definitely beats pretty much the rest of the campaigns. But, yeah, we'll talk about these on the next show. And for the next show, make sure to send in your comments, questions, and submissions to submissions@podtacular.com. Our show is community-centered based on your submissions, so be sure to submit watchpodtacular.com for the invitation, and we'll probably put that up very soon.
Be sure to check out our website, podtacular.com, and while you're there, come drop us a line in the forums and get involved in our community.
We always
love having people listen to us and talk to us.
Yes. We really need to change this up.
Tell us what you really think, you know?
Yeah. Let us know how we're really doing. Thanks to everyone who contribute to Podtacular by dedicating time to lead events, helping out with the bills, by donating through PayPal, following us on Twitter and Facebook, or subscribing to the show on iTunes and Zune Marketplace.
Yep, and check out the other shows on the GamerCast Network, Gamertag, Radio Uncle Gamer, Sarcastic Gamer, the GCN Video Game Show, Post Game Report, and Destructoid.
And a quick shout out to all the people who participated in the Halo 3 Farewell Tourney. It was my first one hosting, and we definitely had a lot of bumps along the way, but I appreciate everyone who decided to sign up and try it out. I know for a lot of you, you guys had a lot of fun. We will be announcing our next tourney very soon, where you will have a chance to win a copy of the official soundtrack for Halo Reach. Details will come for that this coming weekend, which will probably be a few days after this podcast is released. So, without further ado, this is us signing off for this podcast. Make sure you tune in to next one, which is going to be 236.
Yep, but only if you've finished the campaign and don't want to, if you don't mind being spoiled, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so see ya.
See ya.